Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lottie.
And friends, we are back with Season 2, Episode 5, Always Two There Are.
I know, I stumbled upon that title and I was like, wow. that is, doesn't just count for the two Inquisitors, but for the Master and the Padawan, right?
Let's go, yes. Master, apprentice, the whole thing. So, yeah, we are diving right back into our Rebels rewatch episode. We watched two episodes. We'll cover one now, and then we'll break off here and cover the next one. Mm-hmm. But let me read a quick summary to you guys, and then we'll just dive right into the discussion here. Thanks to Rex. We had those episodes with Rex where we got him on board. He's good. Kanan and Rex kind of went through their little beef, right? They figured things out. But so thanks to him, Ezra, Sabine, Zeb, and Chopper head out to an abandoned Republic medical station with the hopes of finding much-needed supplies when they encounter new enemies. However, the stakes become much higher. So this is a situation where we go out for supplies. Seems like a routine mission. There's some fighting going on between Ezra, Kanan, and Rex as to how one should be training. Good job there, soldier. Good job, Padawan. Mm-hmm. Just pulled in different directions. What'd you think of that? We start with that, and then we'll get into some of this Inquisitor business.
Yeah, it's foreshadowing for the next episode, definitely.
Yeah.
Because,
Which path are you going to take?
I know.
And where do you go?
I think it's pretty cool because we learned along the way that the Jedi are not perfect either. And they had to work along soldiers in the, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The war.
The Jedi had to work alongside the clones in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And so they were their generals. They were the commanders, but they weren't always perfect. And what's great about the Clone Wars, just to step aside to that real quick, because you bring up an interesting point. They had to, there's a lot of times where the Jedi weren't right, or they had to be saved by commanders or captains or what have you, other clones. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool. So, but yeah, they're both learning, feeling each other out and trying to figure out, you know, what are some of the priorities in Ezra's training. They each have different philosophies and background, and what does discipline mean? And it's very interesting to see the wisdom of Rex, who is an older, seasoned guy and understands discipline. And the Jedi are famed for their discipline, right?
Right.
But are they? And he's talking about like this, his lack of discipline, and oh, he gets it from his master, huh? And that goes back to Kanan's feeling inferior.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. Am I the one who should train this boy? Am I worthy of that? Reach that level. And then actually, the seventh sister, which is the Inquisitor in this, she says that your master didn't even reach the rank of Jedi Knight. Yeah. So who is he to train someone like you? Mm-hmm. Almost sort of a come with me and together we can rule the galaxy situation. So that was cool. That was interesting. But yes, I like this dynamic between Rex and Kanan because it's way more friendlier. And now it's almost like a competitive sort of thing. They're both invested in Ezra, like Ezra, and want him to grow stronger.
Yeah. So. Now, is he part of the team permanently?
Rex is on the team now. Yeah, he's joined the fight. He's there with them for the time being anyways, and he's going to be like a member of the crew. I mean, he's not like a Spectre necessarily. I don't think they give him that designation. He's just sort of a part of the rebellion.
Okay.
And there again, you know, he's sort of on the fringe of this group, and he's more closer to Ahsoka. Kind of like Ahsoka is not necessarily a part of their group. Ahsoka is a part of something larger.
Yeah.
And it's all still kind of coming together.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, because today you can't really escape Rebels, because today I walked into my classroom.
Oh, yeah.
And the teacher I was subbing for had a lot of Star Wars posters, and one of them was the Rebels crew.
Yeah.
And Rex was not on there.
So. No. And so the crew is what we start off with. That is their group. Mm-hmm. They are a group that will stick around. They get sort of merged with other groups, and they come across, you know, for example, pirates, smugglers, other rebels, intelligence people, senators, and so on. So they're this. We follow that group. That is the core group we follow all the way through.
Okay.
Which is great because they're a family. And let me just tell you that every time I think ahead, I really want to put our foot down on this and just really get into more of these episodes.
Oh,
because I just feel like it as we watched two today, which was great. And I kind of like that rhythm of watching maybe two quick episodes just to keep the momentum going.
Yeah.
And for you to feel what the story, you know, how it feels. Yes. Right. So Yeah, just great. But, okay, we need medical supplies. And Rex has all these old codes, all these old stations, information, etc. So we're going to go there. And Ezra is not supposed to go on the mission, but he decides, I'm out. I'm just not feeling it. He's stretched too thin. He's growing from a kid. These two episodes, the ones that we're going to cover today, and then we'll drop the other one tomorrow for you guys. But they really... It is about Ezra figuring out what he wants to do and wrestling with, like, okay, this is who I used to be, how I used to look out for myself, and now I'm like, I'm part of something bigger and something more, and now that I'm in it, it's not just about lightsaber training, there's a lot to do.
A lot to do, a lot of responsibilities. If you're on a team, you're not only there for yourself anymore, you know,
right.
You're taking care of everybody else too.
Yeah, you gotta step up. Now, what do you think about... Zeb so far, because this was a Zeb kind of episode, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Inquisitors are there, and we get the fifth brother, who you had seen earlier. Have you seen that girl Inquisitor, though?
I was wondering where she came from.
Right.
Why was she there? Because we only see the other Inquisitor, you know, talking to
Admiral Constantine.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he's going to go for, that he can feel this is the group we're looking for. I'm going alone. Where did she come from?
Yeah, where did she come from?
I was confused.
Right? So she could... You asked a great question during the episode, too. Are they Sith, is what you asked
me.
And, you know, just to answer that, then we'll get back to Zeb here. They are Force sensitives. A lot of them were Jedi who were turned, who were turned to the dark side, who were captured by Emperor Palpatine, tortured, turned to the dark side. Or they were Force sensitives out there that weren't a part of the Order or were too young or what have you, and he has acquired them and then over 10, 15 years has turned them into this unit. So they come from a lot of different backgrounds, but a lot of them were former Jedi.
Now, it totally makes sense, because even if they have... you know, killed every Jedi on this planet, there's still new babies being born that could have the Force sensitivity.
Yeah.
And somebody could train them. Well, they might think, okay, if there's no Jedi left, who's going to train them? But they still want all of those newborn babies that will have that power for themselves, right? So that's what they probably did. They constantly have to look out for people who are force sensitive.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So there's this, the Inquisitors are out there looking for those force sensitive individuals, the Jedi trying to wipe them out, Order 66. Now, there's an interesting project called Project Harvester, where Emperor Palpatine was trying to collect the force sensitives, younglings, little children, and he's trying to get them. Now, in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which was 5 years prior to this, they had started something called The Path. Right. So the path was where Obi-Wan, when he's in there, he starts to feel the wall and he sees that there are these younglings. Remember Haja, the pretend Jedi? He has there's a family saying, can you, you know, Master Jedi, can you help us out? And that young boy that's sitting there is force sensitive.
Wow.
So I think he's a connection to Legends, Corran Horn. I think he's later in the old Legends books, anyways, he was a pretty big deal. He was a big time Jedi. With Luke Skywalker.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to think they might go that route and bring Force sensitives that were Luke's age or older, younger, what have you, who went undetected during that time that Luke was a hero, and then come out on the other end and become something more. So, very, very interesting. But anyways, they're not necessarily... So the title Sith, it's interesting... Always two there are is the title here. So we see two Inquisitors. There are more. We learn in comics and stuff like that there are many more. Not many more, but there's a group of them, a good batch. And we saw in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, right? When you went into the Inquisitor headquarters, I always forget if it's Reva or Reva. Reva was an Inquisitor. So Obi-Wan was fighting her. He fought the Grand Inquisitor. So we know there's more of these guys.
Right.
But the Sith... are to be a Dark Lord of the Sith, you have to, that's another level. You are the head of that order. And years ago, the Sith decided to hide their numbers. If this is true or if this is still canon, I like to call it, it's my head canon. It's been canon for so long. Yoda says at one point, when asked about the Sith, he said, always two there are. Always two.
Oh.
Yeah, right? So always two. He says that in episode one. And so when Qui-Gon Jinn says, I believe that he's encountered a Sith. And they all look around the council like, nah, the Sith they could not have returned without us knowing. The arrogance of the council was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it actually took Qui-Gon's death for them to, mm-hmm. to realize. And you saw what was happening in Tales of the Jedi. Dooku was already, during that time, working with Palpatine.
Yeah.
Yaddle is killed because of that. So the Sith were full on back. And, so it took took Qui-Gon's death for them to see that. But Yoda says something interesting. He says, always two there are, a master and an apprentice.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what they did in lore and in Star Wars literature is they went back to the time of Darth Bane. And they said that Darth Bane realized that the Sith were their own problem. They were fighting the Jedi, and thousands upon thousands, you know, tens of thousands of Sith, and now also Jedi fighting one another. There were Jedi and Sith wars.
Yeah.
Okay. He decided that they were better when there were fewer.
Yeah.
And if you could just get it down to one master, one apprentice, one Dark Lord of the Sith, one to rule, and then one to take his place after. Yes, mm-hmm. clearly you're going to have other dark side acolytes. We have a Star Wars acolyte series coming up. Clearly you're going to have other factions who think that they, or who are force sensitive, or that might use the dark side. For example, a Jedi Knight could tap into the dark side and fall to the dark side.
Yeah.
You had a couple Jedi during the Clone Wars who were Jedi, who used the light side of the Force, and they fell to the dark side. You know, like that doesn't make them Sith necessarily. Okay. It means that they are just using dark side powers and they had fallen.
Okay.
They had fallen. Yeah. So, I mean, sort of. I mean, you can go down that route of like, so Count Dooku had an apprentice, Asajj Ventress.
Mm-hmm.
He was training her because Count Dooku's thinking, I'm going to take over.
Yeah.
Palpatine, I got him. I'm going to off him. Once I off him, then my apprentice will be underneath me. You know what I mean? So that each, as you go down, you're sort of like each of them are working on their new apprentice. Darth Vader says it to Luke in episode 5. He says, join me and together we can rule the galaxy, right? We could defeat the Emperor. So it's just like, anyways, it's interesting to think about how they tried to reduce their numbers so they could hide.
Yeah.
And they could work from the shadows better. They were in that way, they weren't fighting so much among themselves, that title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's it's a connection to the title of this episode, which is always two there are. And it's talking about the Inquisitors, and as you said, Master and Apprentice. And then also the idea that there were always two Sith. So it's cool. But yeah, so this one we have the seventh sister showing up and then the fifth brother who we saw before.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, the fifth brother was an inquisitor of an unknown humanoid grayskin species. He was tasked by Darth Vader to track down the rebels and capture any surviving Jedi Knights of Order 66. So that was his task. I can't read much more about him because that would be spoiler. So
okay.
that is him. We'll learn more about him as we go. And the seventh sister, again, same thing, tasked to kind of hunt them down. Clearly, they're looking for Ahsoka Tano. They want to know information about her as well. She has come up on their radar, and they're tracking her.
Mm-hmm.
Any of these Jedi who have connections to the old order would be powerful. I mean, they're definitely people they want to track down and kill. So, but yeah, as they go along, this is a Zeb episode, as I was saying. So Zeb sort of is the hero here.
Yeah.
And just rolls with it. And I think it's good because everybody has sort of back and forth. One time it's Ezra. Next time Chopper wins the day for us, or Hera wins the day. And it's good because it's a bunch of bouncing around. And Zeb needed a moment where he...
Definitely.
Yeah. Where he really did him a solid there. It seems like such a simple plan. And I kind of like it. They just attach themselves up on the ceiling and surprise attack, drop down on him.
Yeah.
Right? So just catch him off guard. And then Ezra is able to use the Force, get his lightsaber back, and...
But how?
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Oh, quick-witted of him to contact Ezra and saying he is, you know, some other commander away, like that is not who's not on the station, because they think for some reason, oh yeah, right, the other Inquisitor was like, yeah, kill him. Not directly kill him, but
yeah,
take care of him to his droid.
Yes.
And he thought Zeb's dead.
Thought he's dead.
That is also arrogance.
Yes, it is. And that's the dark side. It's full of arrogance. Mm-hmm. And so they're very arrogant in thinking that way. You know what's interesting is Zeb said he was Commander
Maluron.
Yeah. Which is a throwback to the first episode where he's going out to get that fruit, and it's Hera's favorite fruit. So
Great. That
pops up from time to time in Star Wars, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just an interesting thing because, you know, Ezra is faced with a really dangerous situation, holds his own pretty well. He still has the blaster lightsaber going on, which is, I think it's cool. What do you think about the his lightsaber?
Yeah, it's blaster, awesome. Right? It's perfect because he always has his weapon with him, but he doesn't necessarily have to reveal everywhere he goes that he's a Jedi. Mm-hmm. He can just use it as a blaster. And then if it's really necessary, he can just, you know, ignite the sword.
Yeah, it keeps them hidden because they don't want to be igniting that lightsaber everywhere they're at, because that's a clear giveaway.
Did I just call a lightsaber a sword?
Hey, a laser sword. Watch yourself. No, they do. Yeah, the laser sword. Yeah, okay. It's funny. But this was also neat because you had like Sabine. They're on their own, right? It's Ezra and Sabine. Oh, here's what I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Ezra and Sabine?
They're cute together.
They're cute.
And they're they're not overdoing it.
Yeah.
I think it's cute. Yeah. They're just...
Some people think I just make this up and that there's nothing between them at all, but...
No, I mean, clearly they showed Ezra has some kind of romantic interest in Sabine.
And she doesn't seem to, because he's younger and she's sort of like...
Yeah, I think they're still a little bit young.
They're only like a year or two apart, I think.
But in general, I think as they grow, I mean, if you're saying, oh, people think you make this up, that tells me, okay, there's nothing going to happen in this series.
That tells you that?
Yeah, because otherwise you would definitely not say that.
What? Are you kidding me?
Nothing happening.
I think she's 2 years older, yeah.
Okay.
So she's 2 years older. Clan Ren. I like just seeing them out together, and I like some of the comedy. Just it's a very comedic episode where... Yeah, Ezra and Zeb are still competing, and she's sort of like, wow, okay, sure. Grow. He's still growing up. He's still maturing. That's why I can't wait for season 3 for you to see the change.
See, what I like about Rebels is it's one of those shows where whenever they get in trouble and they're even facing potential death, it's still comedic, and it's more like we... No, they're gonna survive. To me, that's really reassuring. I know.
Yeah.
Okay, all is good. They're still making jokes.
Yeah.
Zeb is still trying to get the medical supplies because they don't seem to be in a high danger. Why are you shaking your head and smiling?
Oh, because they have so well drawn you in. It is so great. It's so great because that's exactly what they want you to feel. Oh. Right now. And it's just, I just hold your horses.
Oh, gosh.
Wait for the music to change. I'm getting chills. just thinking about things that are coming. Woo! Never have I seen an animated series that had this much weight to it. And that it had this much stake, I guess, sort of where the stakes were high in terms of the rebellion and the setup for all, like, for Star Wars and for the future of it. And now it's like playing into the Mandalorian and Ahsoka and all those stories. It's like, it's kind of wild. And this is, you're going to see why as we progress on.
See, I was wondering, I asked you during the show, does Sabine, because she's a Mandalorian, right?
Yeah.
So does she know the other Mandalorians like Boba Fett or Mando?
Yeah, more, I don't want to say too much about that now. It will come up later. You're going to learn more about Sabine. Each of them, actually, you're going to learn more about their past a little bit.
So
you will do that. Yeah, we'll explore their past a little bit. And then you can imagine, I'm not going to spoil it, when or where that's going to happen. But then as you do that, you learn about their past. Then we drive on a little bit more. Their past may come back and, you know, have to deal with it. And then so on. It's such a great
it's so much like Avatar Last Airbender. Because they all had their episodes where they explore their past and their path. You know,
their path, yes.
Which path do they choose to go forward.
Yeah, yeah. And you learn more about what they're doing currently, why they do the things that they do. Why is Sabine, you know, doing all their graffiti stuff? Why her creativity sort of comes out. You learn more about that and where she came from. So yes, she does know. Now, you ask about Boba Fett. I actually am not sure. And anyone listening out there, if there's any crossover like references to where, because I'd have to go back and watch the end of Clone Wars and where Boba was during that time. But yeah, just in terms of does she know him specifically? Mm. Yeah, not so sure about that one. But anyway,
you mentioned her creativity, and I love when you take a closer look at their ship in the background. You can always find little things like the stickers, the Stormtrooper stickers, right at the beginning when they're talking, you know, when Rex and Kanan are playing the game, Ezra's a little bit annoyed. And there is the stickers in the background. And later we also see some posters that look like they're from a concert or some kind of like, you know, like, I don't know, punk rock.
Yeah, like
very
galactic band. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome because that's world building. And we don't want just a, you know, empty ship where they just stand and talk, but they live there. That's their home.
They got posters hanging up and everything. Yeah, and it does. That I think when you're done with all of Rebels and you look back, oh boy, it's the time where they're on the Ghost and they're just cruising around. This is their Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
You know, like they're going on a quick run, a supply run. They're going to get medical supply. Then they're going to go get some power converters. And they're just doing these simple, small things. And they got to make a run, get on the black market a little bit, do something for the rebellion, do something for themselves, come across some pirates. And it's just their life. But they live there and they're a family. They're playing games. They're eating. They're going to, you know, training. Sometimes it's just like, sometimes they're just sitting around outside of the ship, just laying there looking up at the sky while Ezra and Kanan are over just running through, you know, the forms, just going through some stuff. And you're like, okay, it has such a chill vibe there. It goes from that real good family feel and just easygoing, very anime style. You're like, all right, this is awesome, to like extreme levels of hype. Extreme levels of hype. And it's just like, we've seen nothing of that yet in season one. You're like, all right, okay. Yeah. Season two, you're like, okay, we're getting into it. And I promise you, those days are coming. So it's just like, anyway, I've said enough on that. But yeah, I like the feel. I like that it's home. I like that it's world building, as you say, and it just makes you feel really cool. They go to a lot of different planets. They come across a lot of different people, and you get an idea of what it's like to be in some of these different rebel cells and who are the members of the rebellion? Who are these people?
Yeah,
I've already kind of spoiled for you, and sorry, guys, I did this, but I told her about, you know, Saul Guerrera, because like, I didn't say what's going to happen, but I said you'll see him in Rebels.
Okay.
Is what I think I said, like on an Andor episode accidentally, so because Saul came up, and I was like, oh, sweet, we're going to see him in Rebels later, and you know, you're like, oh, well, you know, it's good. But it fits in the timeline. I mean, you know, if it's because Andor is going on right now at the same time. While Andor is doing all that stuff, either prior of Rebels or during, while the Ghost is out doing its thing and the Phoenix Squad is out doing their stuff.
Yeah.
So that'll be neat.
Mm-hmm. When they finally escaped, you told me this is the same thing that Lord Vader easily did. He tried to hold back the ship.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. With the force.
With the force. We saw that in Kenobi.
In Kenobi. So when the ship's taking off, he lifts a hand and boom, he stops the ship, right? Decoy ship, though. They were on the other ship and they made him exhaust his force power on holding that ship and bringing it back down. Now, in a Star Wars video game, Starkiller, who, remember I told you about Starkiller was Darth Vader's apprentice, and in Andor, they had that helmet that everyone kept talking about. They're like, that's Starkiller's helmet. He was another one who had the power to reach up and like stop a ship in midair.
Wow.
So Vader could do it. Starkiller could do it. Ahsoka tried it, was very close, but was under fire. She was holding Darth Maul's ship at one point and trying to keep him from leaving. So, and that's not in, that's prior to this. That's at the end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
They had Darth Maul in their possession. And the Clone War, Order 66 happens, and then she's trying to stop him, but she's getting fired up by clone troopers, and what do you do?
Wow.
Yeah, it's intense. Everything with Ahsoka is super intense, and it's just like, whoa. Okay. So, and then what? Yeah, and then these two, they try to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You hear the seventh sister say, "I can't hold him by myself," right?
I know.
And then,
which is again, you know, there's two of them, but they still can't do it together. Mm-hmm, they're not in tune, in sync.
No, they're both out for their
team. No,
right? They're both out for themselves.
Own benefit. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And we kind of saw that in the Kenobi series a little bit as well, where they were trying to compete for the Grand Inquisitor spot or something.
Yes.
Right? And so, I mean, Reva at one point, like, she guts the Grand Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has two stomachs. And everyone's like, we're good, we're good. He's got two stomachs. So crazy. Star Wars does that kind of stuff. I love it. I love it. You can fall from a great height and you're like, good. So, anyway. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other things. Yeah, they get back and they're explaining all that and everyone's like, wow, that's crazy. And Kanan has a moment. We'll finish with this. Kanan has a moment where they're like, Kanan, why didn't you tell us that there are more? And he doesn't have an answer. And he sits down and he, once the kids leave the room, he says to the adults, we don't know what we're up against. We have no idea how many of them there are, how many of them are coming. They're looking for me. They're looking for Ezra. And we got to be ready.
Yeah.
We've got to be ready.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He needs to train Ezra.
Yeah.
Ezra needs to accelerate his training because they are hunting him and they will take him out.
Yeah, which is, well, I'll tell you next episode, but
okay,
which
you
is
got
why
thoughts.
I didn't really understand his reaction last or in the next episode when.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we can save that for the next. Yeah, we're about we'll dive right into it. We'll get over there. Yeah, so that's pretty much it for this episode. Very quick, straightforward, good little. I mean, it's why forget. You know, I'm so used to the seventh sister just being a part of Rebels that I'm like, okay, yeah, she's there. She shows up, but no, she's new to you.
Yeah.
You know, instantly, like, didn't see her. Saw the other guy. Where'd this girl come from?
Yeah.
So it's neat for me to kind of remember what that was like going through and saying who. Is this and
Wait,
how
so
many of
more.
Them are there? Yeah,
we get more of her and her backstory.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You get more of again the crew, but you'll get a little bit of the of these other guys and you know what they're about and what they're after, and what's going on, and why Ezra and Lothal are so important. Okay. All right, friends. Hey. That is it for this episode. We're going to cut this off. We're going to jump right back into the next episode and get after it. We like to get these out quick, hot, right after reviewing raw thoughts. Again, send us your comments. We'll look into those. Any comments we get, if it's Rebels related, they're popping on this episode. We'll start with those. We'll read some of those comments, and it could just be stuff that might help Lottie, things that provide more context, dates, times, whatever it might be, your reactions, your thoughts, things you're looking forward to. So send those our way at StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. And friends, with that, thank you for listening. And as always, may the Force be with you. Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.